If you need a title, in case we do not finish tonight, we may or may not, Give Them Warning from Me. That will be the title. We're going to start in Ezekiel and understand the prophet's call that sums up the preacher of the Old Covenant and actually builds the foundation for the New. And then as we go into the epistles and the book of Acts and deal with Paul, we'll see that much of this has not changed. That both the prophet and the preacher in Old and New Covenant are held accountable to the Lord for what they give, for how they deliver it, and that the people themselves are held accountable. And we will see as we study these scriptures and we get into several of the epistles, you will more clearly understand that much of what is given today is not the gospel according to the apostolic teaching. It is not the whole counsel of God. And again, we've spent much time teaching and telling us it's because of the time we live in. There are many false teachers, many smooth teachers, many people who will water down the gospel or alter it to make it more tasteful for them, to make it pleasant. And we will see the dangers, the curse that goes in both covenants for those who do this, and the consequences of this on the people who hear and listen to false teachings. So what I want us to get out of this is mainly so we can understand what is required when we deal in the New Testament. Basically, when we sum up the gospel or the message or the teaching, it's summed up basically by the fivefold ministries, what we would call the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers. And all mature ministries, all mature Christians are supposed to, according to Paul, be able to teach someone. He's not talking about public ministry. But every true believer who has matured in the Lord has to be able to understand not only the gospel, but to transmit it when necessary. And then we have those whose particular calling and gift and grace is more specialized in this. And we need to understand that, again, the message cannot change. The apostolic foundation has been laid. So when we talk of teaching, that is the foundation of every work in the New Testament. Every other thing is a sideline. Did you know that? Everything else is a sideline. The scripture is built and finished with apostolic teaching. And it will be the foundation that God will judge everybody by one day. He will not judge them by His love, His unconditional love. He will not judge them by how much grace He has extended. He will judge them by the truth of His word and how the persons or persons received it and adhered to it. This is what will judge in the final day. Not public opinion, not moods, not emotion, not music, not money. Sound doctrine is what God, and sound doctrine means sound teaching. That which is according to Scripture. That which is rightly divided according to truth. And this is what God has based everything on. And this is what He will judge everyone by. So we need to see the importance of this. Under the old, under the new. The word under the Old Testament, the law was given by Moses. He got it as a prophet. He got it directly from God. And then as God added to the revelation, He set prophets to speak His mind, to speak His will and purposes. And then from that point proceeded the priests. And they were basically to interpret rightly, to rightly divide, as we would say. They were to instruct people out of that revelation. They were not to add to it. They were to instruct people out of what was laid. They were to build on the foundation of the law. They were not to add their own thoughts and opinions. They were to expound in the language of the people, by symbols, by feast, by ceremony, to go back and always explain what God said and what he meant. And so again, we see under the new the same thing, that the gospel has been given, the foundation was laid by Jesus Christ and the apostles, and everything must be built by that and judged by that. And so sound teaching is important. When people are afraid of teaching, they're on their way to hell. When people cannot endure teaching, they're on their way to hell. Because even when Jesus called the disciples and the apostles and told them after the resurrection to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the word was to proclaim it. And he didn't stop there. He says, teaching them all things. You cannot preach the gospel and not be a teacher of the gospel. Now, we have a lot of people trying this. You cannot be an evangelist. You cannot have the prophetic ministry or apostolic ministry or be a shepherd or a pastor or an overseer and not be a teacher. Otherwise, you're false. Because everything you do must be based on the foundation of God's Word. And so teaching is of the utmost importance. Sound doctrine determines people's destiny. So when you hear people say doctrine's not important, that's simply the devil speaking through them, you know, trying to get you away from Scripture. Why? Because Scripture will instruct you. It will do a lot of things that nothing else will do. Music won't do it. Jumping up and down and barking like dogs won't do it. Rolling on the floor and screaming and yelling, and that won't do it. You can do that in false religions. No, it's sound teaching that will let you know what the truth is. Not tinglings, not slayings, you know, not entertainment, not swallowing goldfish. None of this stuff has anything to do with the gospel. It's sound teaching. So when people want to be entertained, then you can understand why we've entered the time that the Scripture says men will not endure sound teaching. We're there. It means they will not put up with it. But the consequences there are that they damn their souls, because God will reject them one day for rejecting His Word. It's as sure as God is God. He said, every idle word, every deed, he said, my word will judge them, the very word in the end. So the word of God is of utmost importance. So we have the apostolic teachings. What is revealed to us? This is given by God through prophecy, through revelation. And now we have it. And we are to be instructed out of it. It lays like the law. It is the law of Christ. It tells us principles and commands. It already tells us what God requires. You don't need to go to the Scripture and get a word from God about not lying. God has already spoken on the subject. You'll never get a word from God, a special word not to lie. You don't need to speak on the subject anymore. You know. You see, a lot of people are looking for special words when they won't read the foundation. They're going to be deceived. They're going to get a special word, but it's not going to be from God. You know. You see, special words, they're only places for direction, for confirmation, not to add to the teaching of Scripture. See, we've already been given. Now that the canon is given, it gives us all things, the Scripture says, that pertains to godliness. We don't need nothing else. Anybody comes with a new revelation to add to this is a false teacher. It's already laid. And so we need to understand what's laid, and we will not be building on the wrong foundation. The call, we will see under the old, God had to call, has not changed under the new. Many people today are out ministering and teaching because they have entered it as a profession, or because they like it, or because someone told them they had charisma. You know, but that is not scriptural. Scripture says, how can they preach unless they're called? See, it hasn't changed. And God said the call was given to certain people as a specialty, and to all of us, we can bear witness to what God has done to us. And as we mature in the Lord and we study and labor in the Word, we can relate that to anyone. We can show them what it means to become a Christian, what it means to stay in the Lord. We can expose false doctrine and expound on truth. Any mature Christian should be able to do this. If not, something's wrong. You haven't drank the milk properly. And remember, Paul said the milk of the Word. See, the reason a lot of people think they're staying baby Christians is because they don't labor in the Word. No, they're already backslidden. They're already into false Christianity. Because the milk of the Word causes you to grow. And if you call yourself a Christian and you've been in the Lord for 5 and 10 years and you say you're still a baby, you are a false Christian. You have refused to drink the milk of the Word and you have not grown. And Paul would say, I'm going to labor again and travail in prayer till Christ is formed in you again. No, the carnal, the lukewarm, and the worldly, Scripture gives them no hope if they die in that state. And I can give them no hope. We have to grow in grace. We have to continue in the faith that is delivered to us. So we will see that those under the new covenant and those who especially have taken upon themselves, whether by God's call or by choice, to proclaim Scripture, and if they're going to call themselves teachers and pastors and shepherds and apostles and so forth, then we want to understand what is required of them and what God requires of them. And the great consequence, if they do not do it properly, that there is a curse that goes with it. And we need to understand. And then many people won't just jump and decide they want to do something. See? We'll see, it doesn't work that way. God calls and God equips, but man is responsible to do his part. And God will always hold man accountable for what he calls him for. Okay? All right, Ezekiel chapter 2. Verses, we'll go 1 through 9 first. So when I saw, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. He's in a prophetic, a visionary state. The Lord is appearing to him. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Okay? He's getting his calling. He's getting what God has to say to him. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. The interesting thing you'll find in the Old Testament was every prophet knew when they were called. They never guessed. Nobody, no person called themselves a prophet under the Old Testament and said, I think I'm a prophet. They all based it on the call that God appeared to them in a vision or a dream and told them what he required of them. And every one of them knew it. Moses, Samuel, all of them. You know, it's no guessing game like today. You know, I hear people today think they're called. I said, you're not called. If you think you're called, you're not. Because you don't understand what goes along with it. You know? When God said he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, he meant he would make no distinction between a rank and file, between male and female. But he also said he would pour out his Spirit and men would prophesy and see visions. Why? Because the Lord's going to reveal himself to them and he's going to call them for certain tasks. And they're going to know this. Now see, today, people don't believe that God calls. That's why they're proclaiming a false gospel. And that's why the Spirit's not with them. They can proclaim instructional teaching, but that's not the call of God. Anybody can do that. But if you're a pastor and you're a public teacher of Scripture, now you think you have a prophetic office or apostolic or an evangelist, you better be called. And if you're not, you need to re-examine what you're doing and understand. Maybe you ought to keep quiet until you understand what you're supposed to be doing. To every man his work. But when we get to the proclaiming of the Word, the evangelizing of the Word, the teaching of the Word, great accountability is given. People do not just take this upon themselves as they want to. Only false people do this. And people who have decided in their own heart what they'll do. You know, but you will not find this in Scripture, old or new. And he said, what? And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even to this very day. What was he telling Ezekiel? From the time I took them out of Egypt, the time under Moses, I have persistently dealt with the rebellious people. You know, it was true, wasn't it? Through Joshua, through the kings. And God, even Isaiah said, though the number of Israel be as the sands of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. What was he saying? As a whole, they have not obeyed me. He slew most of them before they got into the promised land. He slew a whole nation, didn't he? See why? They did not keep his word. They did not keep his precepts. They did not listen to him. And he threatened them. And he told them what he would do. And you can be sure he carried through with everything he told them he would do. Go back and read it. You'll see God was true to his word. If he promised them blessing, he blessed them. And if he promised them cursing, he cursed them. He always kept what he told them he would do if they disobeyed him or they obeyed him. So he's saying what? I'm already sending you to a people as a whole who are already rebellious. What is rebellion? We know what Scripture means. It means to oppose. It's as the sin of witchcraft. It means you side with Satan. It deals with a willful opposition to God. It's the opposite of submission. It's the opposite of lordship. You know, it's called transgression, iniquity, sin. It means not to obey is what it means. Often it's used as disbelief or unbelief. And he says, what? For they are a impotent and stubborn children, willful, strong-headed against me, is what he means. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. What is the message of the prophet? Is it his own message? No. He is told what? I'll tell you what to tell these people. See, we have to be careful, even today, when prophets and teachers go along giving you something and they tell you it's from God. If it don't measure up to Scripture, throw it out. Even in the Old Covenant, even when the prophets did signs and wonders and they came to pass, that was not enough. The Scripture says, if they try to turn you against the Lord and what He's already told you, and if they try to get you to go after other gods and mingle, He said, even though what He says comes to pass, and even if he performs a miracle, does it sound familiar today? He said something interesting. You shall not fear him. It means you shall give him no regard. And then later he says, and ye shall stone him to death. Now that was God's evaluation of someone who spoke for him that God hadn't sent. Jeremiah goes a step further. And God speaks to him and says, these prophets, they prophesy out of their own spirit. And they have seen nothing. Well, we have this today, don't we? Everybody's prophesying, even on television. You hear these long prophetic messages. And most of them are a bunch of horse dung. They don't even measure up scripturally, much less any other way. You know. And he said what? He said, I didn't send them, nor did I speak to them, yet they come in my name. And he put curses on them for this. It has not changed. And he said, they have seen nothing. They have heard nothing. See? They were using his name. Now we have lots of ministers and teachers today who are teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. But Jesus has not sent them. And if you read Scripture, you can figure out pretty well. You don't need no gift of discerning of spirits in most cases. Just by what they proclaim will tell you that it doesn't measure up to Scripture. And the same judgment will come on them. You know, God told those in the old, I will make you the tail and not the head, you teachers, you prophets, who speak in my name when I did not send you. When you speak prosperity and blessing when I'm speaking judgment. When you cause my people to trust in a lie. Isn't that happening today? All of these false prophets telling you to send your money in, appealing to your greed. They want to bless you so they can get greedy and profitable off of you. And they do. And they used the name of the Lord to do this. They're deceitful workers, Paul called them. Angels of light. But they're going to use Jesus' name. So don't be so stupid to believe because someone says he's from God, he's from God. You're the dumbest person on earth if you believe this. You're gullible. And gullible people end up in hell. Blind people end up in the ditch, which is hell. Because they don't test and check out what's being said. So again, he says, well, I didn't send them, nor did I tell them what to speak, and yet they run. See, it's happening today. They're running with a message that is not the gospel message. They're running with a watered-down gospel, a half-truth. A half-truth is a lie. The half-counsel of God is not true. Did you know that? It's a lie. This is the master of what Satan does. Remember, he did it with Eve. He adds or takes from the truth, which makes it a lie. See? He's not telling you. He's not rightly dividing all of Scripture. And this is what they do. They take Scripture out of its context. Or they take Scripture that don't apply to you because you're not meeting the conditions of the Word. Promising you God's blessing when God, if you understood Scripture, you're already under His judgment. And He's already said, I won't hear you. Because you're already in rebellion. See, He said, I didn't have nothing good to say to these people. So He's telling them, this is what you're going to deal with. I'm going to send you with a stubborn, willful people. And you shall say, thus saith the Lord. What are you going to say? You're going to say, this is the message of Jehovah. I'm not coming to speak my own message. What is the minister today to do? He is to say, this is the message. The apostolic teaching. The epistles is the message, my message. Not no new message. Not no special message. I don't believe in special messages. The foundation has been laid. When people have special messages and yet they leave out most of this, they're in error. They are being deceived themselves. You know. We better build on what's been laid. Don't be looking to lay something else when the truth is not being laid properly. See, that's the danger today. Men are not understanding Scripture, and part of it is God is blinding them because of their sins, and they won't obey Scripture when it's given to them. We are at a time when God is sending a delusion. And if you want to tamper with God's Word, God will let you do it. But we're going to read the rest of the Scriptures too, where He says He will send. He will send seducing spirits and doctrines of devils to the person who resists the Holy Spirit. We're living at that time. There's going to be a falling away. There is a falling away from the true church. There is much false teaching. And it's God's punishment when they refuse the truth that they were given. Go back to the Word before you want any kind of special revelation. Okay, as for them, now he's going to talk about the rebellious and stubborn people you're going to go to. As for them, whether they hear you or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. How will they know? Well, he would have validated it under the old covenant, either by a sign or a wonder, or when he pronounced the judgment, it would come to pass. How will he do it under the new, basically? Basically, if you study Scripture, it's the ministry of the Word takes foundation. It is to bring conviction and turn people from sin. See, we got a lot of people trying to come to the Lord, but they're not turning from their sins. You know, they're told Jesus loves them no matter what they do, unconditionally, it's all grace, they can't do nothing. Never one time is the word sin mentioned, or judgment, or repentance. You know why? Because it's a half-truth and it's a false gospel being propagated. God is not offering grace and love to people who do not turn and repent. They're still His enemies. And if you read Peter and Paul, they promise God's wrath on these people. But see, the prophetic word, the word spoken under inspiration, whether it's preached or exhorted or taught, is to convict. The Holy Spirit convicts their spirit. He lets them know something isn't right. And that conviction they're to respond to. Everything else is a sideline. He chooses a sign or a wonder or a confirmation. The only thing it saves people is conviction. Signs and wonders have never saved anybody. And they can never keep anybody. Only the Word can. See, these are sidelines. They have their place, but the Word can be preached without it if necessary. Why? Because the Word appeals to the conscience. It appeals to the man's spirit. It appeals to his reasoning, that he has to make a choice when the word is proclaimed. And the Holy Spirit does it. He pricks him. He lets him know, you're not right. Notice the King James, and a word used 3 or 4 times when they preach, it says they were cut to the heart. See, they were translating that so you'd understand what it meant. It meant when the word was preached, someone went up with a needle and stuck them. And they went like this. It got their attention. And see, this is what the word does when the Holy Spirit's backing it. It disturbs. It doesn't let a wicked person be at peace. Why? For there is no peace for the wicked. It does not let God's enemy be at peace in his presence. Until he's reconciled, he's God's enemy. And he's still under God's wrath and judgment. And see, that's what the true word will do. The word will not pacify a sinner. It will not promise a sinner God's blessing without repentance and change. It cannot. It's a lying message if it does. Okay, so he's telling the prophet and the messenger, you have no say-so in whether the person receives the message or not. My job as a teacher is not to make you receive what I give you. I cannot do that. Mine is to give you the truth. Yours is to hear or refuse. Yours is to put into action or not. God will not judge me for that. He will judge you for that. He will judge me for what I deliver and how I deliver it. And then I'm free. Once it reaches your ears, then it's you and God's problem. Okay? So the prophet and the messenger is not required to change the person. Even the Holy Spirit will not change people if they refuse to heed. See, even he can't do it. He will not override them. He will influence. He will move. He will warn. He will comfort. He will do these things, but ultimately man must do what? Make the decision by choice, will, and action. See, that's called being free, moral person before God. See, he will never override that. Salvation is a choice. Even when it's offered, the choice must be made. Okay? And then he goes on. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Well, it hasn't changed, has it? What is he telling the prophet? In general, if I have sent you to a rebellious people, they are not going to accept you. They are going to fight against you. They are not going to open their doors, welcome you. Because as a whole, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They're going to say, hey, we want a good message. We want a positive message. We want a message to build our self-esteem. We want to be told that God loves me no matter what I do. And that I can sin all I want because I'm saved by grace. See, that's what they want. Hasn't changed. They wanted that in the old covenant. They told the prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, do not prophesy to us the word of the Holy One of Israel. Prophesy to us smooth things. And God said, okay. And what did he do? He sent false prophets to deceive them. And they often killed the true prophets. They did not like their message. Hasn't changed, has it? See, we just happen to live in a land where we're not physically killed. They kill our character. They slander us. We're legalistic. We're holier than thou. We expect too much. You know, we need to be more loving and kind and tolerant. Sounds good, it's just not scriptural. We need to get back and see what God says on the subject. So see, we're at that time that the institutional and the organized church is going to reject the true prophet and the true teacher of the Lord. We're there now. And the masses of our churches as a whole already have messengers of Satan standing in their pulpits. And they're not giving people the word of God. Oh, they'll mix a little bit with it. But mainly what they're giving them is arsenic. You know, mix a little truth, but put death there. But it says the people love it so. But God has the final word. He says, yeah, but what will they do in the end? See, he's saying what? I'll have the final say-so. They can do as they please. But I get the final word. See, that's going to be the horror, isn't it? So what is he saying? He's warning the messenger that often your message is not going to be received, so do not be surprised. You know, be prepared. To be persecuted, rejected, because of your Christianity, because of your message. If everybody likes you, it's because you're a false Christian. Did you know that? If everything goes well with you all the time, it's because you're a false Christian. That's why. You're a coward. You're hiding. I didn't say that. Scripture said that. Scripture said through much tribulation we'll enter the kingdom. Scripture said if you love Jesus, the world will hate you. So if the world likes you and you're popular with everybody in the world, you better go home and examine yourself and say, what's wrong with me? Why do they like me? Is it because I'm a coward? Is it because I don't stand for Jesus because I don't want to offend nobody? And see, your very silence, you offend God. And he's the one not to offend. You can offend people all you want, but they're not going to be there when you stand before God at the final judgment. And their opinion's not going to be considered by God. See, we better get back to fearing God. He's the one who counts. Everybody else don't count. Okay, so he's saying what? They will be briars and thorns. What's a briar and a thorn? These are going to be something that prick and attack you and harm you. What is he saying? You're not going into a bed of roses. You know, you're not going to be walking on velvet. That these people are going to oppose you once you give them the truth. Why? Because if you give them the truth, you will cut them to the heart at times if they're sinners. You will slay them with the word, and the word will reveal what they are, and they won't like that. You know? But see, what they don't understand is it's nothing personal. You're just giving them the message of God. But they'll attack the messenger. See? It hasn't changed. Most of the prophets often were killed, weren't they? Because they delivered what God said, because it wasn't pleasant. Isn't it interesting? It hasn't changed. So he's warning us. And he says, what? And you will dwell among scorpions. Notice Jesus said something interesting. He says, you shall pick up scorpions, and they will not harm you. And snakes. So there's a time that we deliver the word, but we don't fear the scorpions. They can't do nothing to us unless God permits it. And if he wants them to kill us, then it's time for us to go. So we just need to proclaim the gospel until God's finished with us. You know? But he says what? You need to watch out for this. Why? The scorpion is deadly. But he says you're going to be among them. So we're among the false teachers and the false prophets now that are calling themselves Christians, who think they're Christians. You know? And they're doing a lot of good works. But what they're not doing is enough to get them into hell. We need to understand that. Okay. And he says what? Do not be afraid of them or their words or dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You know why I know a lot of people are not filled with the Spirit who claim to be filled with the Spirit and claim to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? For one word alone, they're cowards. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a sideline, and it has its place, but that is not the purpose. If you go back and study Scripture, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for boldness to proclaim the Word. And why did you need boldness? Because when you proclaim the Word, people are going to attack you, verbally, physically. Go find what they did to Paul and Peter. See, he's saying what? You will need boldness at times, because they're going to attack you. And all we hear today is, oh, I got filled with the Spirit, and I just sang in tongues, and I fell on the floor, and I triggled all over the place and barked. This is a bunch of horse dung. It's not what Scripture said. It says when the Spirit came on them, they prophesied. And when they spoke in tongues, it said they spoke forth the words of God and praise to God. It wasn't to build the ego up. It's still to honor God and to honor His Word. So you see, a lot of what's called being filled with the Spirit is nothing but emotional fanaticism. It has no place in Scripture. And much of it is nothing more than bunk. Okay. He says, you shall speak. What does he tell them? Even though you're among these kind of people, you're not to be afraid of them. What does Proverbs say? The righteous are as bold as a lion. Isn't it interesting? And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to separate from your presence. They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Because you're not like them. You know? See, people want to be like the world. They want to be popular with the world. They will be judged with the world. Because Jesus said they weren't going to be. And so he's saying what? Prepare for this. And he says, I'm telling you this so you won't be offended when it happens. So if you want to be the messenger of God, then automatically you set yourself up to be a victim. And you're going to need God's grace at times to stand. Because otherwise you're going to be rejected by God for being a coward. Now it's interesting, when God called some of the prophets, he gave them a stern warning. Don't you be afraid of them. He said, lest I confound you before them. Why? He did not expect them to be afraid. Why? He said, because I am with you. He gave them grace. Remember, the apostles were hiding after the resurrection. But after Pentecost, they were out proclaiming the gospel, got beat, and went right back out and preached some more. See, they were filled with what? A different kind of spirit. They didn't go run in the house and speak in tongues and then go to work and live like the world all day long. Now, this is false Christianity that's going on. It has no place in Scripture. You want to know if someone's filled with the Spirit? They speak the word with boldness. Otherwise, they are not. It's very simple. Okay. What does he say? You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious people. So again, he's saying, you still will speak what I give you, whether they hear it or not. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. See, the sad thing today is there are ministers and teachers who may have been called of God at one time and may have really got the call of God. And because of fear, intimidation, money, public opinion, whatever else, they're afraid now to speak because it costs them. They're afraid to offend their friend because they may not get no money from them. They may lose their pension. Their church might get rid of them. But notice, God didn't say poor baby. Notice what he says up here. Do not be rebellious like them, like that rebellious house. Why? Because you're in a terrible state. You're going to come under great judgment if God calls you to speak and you don't do it. See, there are no options. People think they can just take it out. Look at Moses. God told him, I'm going to send you to deliver my people. And what did he say? Well, I can't talk well, God. I'm not a good talker like my brother Aaron. And he tried to get out of it. And the scripture says the anger of the Lord rose against him. God didn't say, oh, really? I'm sorry. He rebuked him. Says the anger of the Lord. It was like, how dare you answer me? See, we don't have this concept of what lordship is. Lordship is not a democracy. Lordship is not voting. It's when God calls, you obey. That's it. There is no other way. See, today as people think, well, I think I'll go minister for the Lord. You know, I'll pray about it, God. I've had many people say, well, if you do this, God, and you do this, then I'll know you called me. No, you're deceived and you're on your way to hell. You'll know God called you when he speaks to you and you can't get away from it. You'll be like Jeremiah when you don't want to speak his word because you'll be punished at times by the people and you'll want to go hide. Yet he said what? He said, but your word burned in me and I could not hold back. He was saying what? When your spirit moved on me, something happens. Whether the word is pleasant or not, something's going on. You see, Paul understood this. He said, we minister life and death. But see, when the spirit moves, they knew who was speaking to them. But the message often was not pleasant. So he's saying what? Don't be rebellious like the people I'm sending you to. See, Jeremiah had that problem at times. Poor man, they persecuted him so much, he didn't want to go to him no more. And God said, what is that to you? They put him in pits and dungeons. They threatened to kill him. God still gave him the word of the Lord, and he still delivered it. And they still beat him, too. And he'd make all his, I'm not going to speak in God's name no more. And then the Spirit would come on him. And he said, I could not hold back. He meant what? The presence of God so overwhelmed me. How can I but speak? See, that's when you know if someone's called by God. See, many people who think they're called, their call ceases when trouble starts. As long as it's smooth, they're called of God. When it starts to cost them, you realize whether they're really called of God or not. Okay. And what does he say? He said, don't be like them. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. What is he saying? The mouth is where we receive what? Food. And the prophet and the New Testament minister is to be fed. And what is he to be fed? The word of God. The bread from heaven. And it's not his bread. It's God's bread. And he says what? Take it. Eat it. What does it mean? Assimilate it until it becomes a part of you. Under the old, he said what? Meditate in the law day and night. day and night. Under the new, he said what? Give, be given to reading and studying. An exhortation. Give yourself to it. See? It becomes a part of your life. And so he says what? Now when I looked, and there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Okay, what is he saying? In the vision, all of a sudden after God is speaking and telling me these things, he hands me something. He's handing me what? The Word. And he's telling me to do what? Eat it. He's telling me to do what? He says that when he spread it before me, there was writings on the inside and on the outside, and writing on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. So what was he told? Because I'm sending you to a rebellious people, I have no pleasant message for them. I'm not going to send you to tell them how I'm going to prosper them and make them healthy and wealthy. I'm not sending you to tell them how I'm going to comfort them and deliver them. No, why? Because they're rebellious. God doesn't promise that to rebellious people. He says, what is the message going to be that I give you? Lamentation, mourning, and woe. Woe is the word for curse. He said, I'm coming with the message of judgment. You know? And he didn't ask their opinion whether they wanted it or not. He's simply saying, this is what I'm going to give them. Why? Because they have rebelled against me. They have rebelled against me. He has not changed. God's attitude has not changed. Go down to verse 3. And he said to me, well, verse 2 of chapter 3. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. What? Even though the message was judgment to other people, it was sweet to him. See, often one of the prophets, John, and one of the other prophets said what? And it was bitter in my stomach. It means the effect of it was not pleasant. But the Word of God is life, so it's always sweet to the receiver. It's always sweet to the messenger when he receives it. But when he delivers it, that may be another story. But when he receives it, he's receiving what? Life. He's receiving something from God himself. And what does he say? And my word will not return void. It will accomplish. And the messenger. See, this is what Paul meant when he said, and we bear this treasure in earthen vessels. See, they understood when the Holy Spirit moved on them, there was a blessing that went with it, even when the consequence was judgment or judgment on them. They understood this. But they were willing. This is why Paul was willing to suffer. He said what? All things that God's glory would rest on me. See, even if the message was unpleasant, they were willing to say it's worth it. It's worth it.